Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, Bill Bender will be on the show. Rich Scarsella on the show. Ken Pomeroy on the show. Coming up on Friday, Frank Bodani and NFL wildcard picks. All right.
Yeah, we can't glide through this weekend. There's going to be some tough picks.
Yeah, just run them out to me. I'll make a pick.
Sure.
Okay. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Alex Ovechkin, always a fan favorite.
Now to the right side, Ovechkin. Right circle, a shot, he scores! Ovechkin does it again! Overtime winner from the right circle! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Carolina!
Obviously, the Capitals radio network with the call as they beat the Carolina Hurricanes last night. It's Alex Ovechkin won it in overtime. All right. 24-7 Sports, been great to get him on as a regular on the show, and that's Andrew Callahan. Andrew, Happy New Year. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. We'll do this in two parts, all part, then go to the basketball part. Dick Girardi had texted me right after the Fiesta Bowl. He said, that's the most lopsided 7.1 I've ever seen. What did you think watching it?
You know, this is something I wrote about actually yesterday, Stephen. It's less from an analytical perspective, but I think if you're looking at the end of this season and everything that means, the farewell to Saquon Barkley, the senior class, and also what might come next, this packaged everything that you would want to see, right? I mean, you had the long Barkley run. Trace McSorley was sharp and poised as he's been the last two seasons. Defensively, a complete team effort. I mean, Marcus Allen leads in tackles, wins MVP, no big play. But everyone did their job. The special teams had great field position. So it was the best of the last two seasons. And then a glimpse of the future. Miles Sanders had a career high in snaps. The offensive line got the kind of push people have been waiting for them to generate. In the pass rush, I mean, you had great performances there from Sharif Miller, even only in one half. Kevin Gibbons, Flash, both of them are going to be back. And Yetur Gross-Matos. So it was the best of both worlds, both the past and what should be coming up next in 2018.
In fact, in the post-game show, I said, I think we saw past, present, and future in this game this evening. And then past, and my past was talking about the James Franklin era, the first 2 years where a lot of the key players were recruited. McSorley was even in that first recruiting class. Present by winning 20 of your last 23. Future because so many key players are going to need in conjunction with the recruiting class now gave that glimpse. That's how I phrased it after the game.
Yeah, and I would completely agree. It's going to be interesting, too, because I think the one player who will be able to string all that together is McSorley. And you look at this game where obviously so much of it fell on his shoulders on third down. Everyone's heard the stat, 12-12 for 193 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He has been their past, he's been their present, and he will be their future. So how much is he able to carry that moving forward? I mean, he's going to have not a totally new cast of characters, they report, place more on defense than they will on offense. But, you know, Miles Sanders in that offensive line should do well, but that's something that's different than you said in past years when Saquon Barkley was coming back and you said they will do well. So he'll be a really interesting character and perhaps on the fringe of the Heisman race next year.
All right. Now, moving forward with this, positionally, they played a lot of people this year, a lot of people. That's why I look at the secondary, for example, all senior starters yet. I'm not really all that, you know. I mean, you're going to lose some key guys that you really like, but they're going to be replaced by guys that played a lot. But what positionally are you going to be looking at that you think, hey, okay, that's going to bear a lot of watching because?
So you hit the middle and take your pick, right? I mean, a defensive tackle, Steve, they have to replace more than 1,000 snaps played by Parker Cothern, Curtis Cothern, and Tyrell Chavis, who is one of the more underrated defenders in my mind for the entirety of the season. you know, linebacker took a real spotlight at the beginning of the week leading into the Fiesta Bowl because Manny Bowen is no longer with the program. He was the most logical player to slide into that linebacker position. So is that going to be Micah Parsons as a true freshman? Perhaps not. Either way, you know you have to replace both safeties. Nick Scott and Aaron Monroe had a handful of snaps. Nick Scott about 25%, Aaron Monroe a little bit less this season. But Nick Scott stepped in for three snaps in the Fiesta Bowl and was promptly pulled on that third drive because he was right there at the center of that double pass that allowed Washington to get his first touchdown and had the roughing the passer call, which wrongfully went to Shane Simmons. So, you know, you're not going to base a guy's career upcoming season on those three plays. But to me, that speaks volumes about the difference right now between what you had in Marcus Allen and Trey Apke and what you could have right now in Nick Scott and Aaron Monroe.
All right. Something interesting to look at as well. Wide receiver part. Obviously, you lose the all-time leading receiver statistically in Deshaun Hamilton, who had a fabulous bowl game. You lose Mike Gesicki at the H-back spot as well, and Saeed Blacknall. What are you looking for there?
You know, I think Hamilton is going to be the most difficult to replace, but I think you could almost do it by committee. You know, he, of course, was in that slot position the last two seasons in this new offense. Joe Moorhead installed and will be continued by Ricky Ronnie. Brandon Polk could fill that role, K.J. Hamler. Otherwise, I think they're going to be okay. I mean, DeAndre Tompkins has played well. He always had that one deep ball, which you even saw in the first half of the Fiesta Bowl. Justin Shorter, five-star. He's their highest-rated offensive recruit and was their highest-rated recruit, period, until Parsons came back on board. So he's someone I expect to enter the too deep. And, you know, Blacknall had been splitting snaps with Tompkins. I'd always been a proponent of just starting Tompkins outright. It's not to discredit Blacknall's ability by any means. We also did it in the Big Ten Championship game a couple of years ago, but Tompkins was more consistent. So with him back, Juwan Johnson, and as I said, Justin Shorter stepping in, and a couple of the slot guys, I think will be just fine.
All right. You mentioned Ricky Ronnie during that answer, Andrew. What were your thoughts? This is now the second game, and, you know, because he filled in the Tax Slayer Bowl. What did you think of the game?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. I mean, you know, the results to a degree speak for themselves. They set a bowl program record, 545 total yards, and then, you know, the first five drives, he gets four touchdowns. The other one, of course, is the overthrow interception, which was more of a sparkling defensive play than anything else. So from Ronnie's perspective, there was a lot of creativity. The 10-2 quarterback package snaps that they had were a season high for a single game. I don't think that'll play a huge role. It might not even be possible if Tommy Stevens transfers. But, you know, Ronnie impressed, and I think he's definitely shown that he's going to put his own fingerprint on this. He's going to have input from the assistants. But, you know, I don't even have to say much more than I already have, right? I mean, the 545 yards, 35 points, which arguably should have been more, a large credit to him and just putting, you know, his players in the best position, and obviously they executed.
All right, let's get to basketball. What were your thoughts on watching the return to Big Ten play last night? Both were Penn State opened a little bit of an advantage and then could not hold it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not one for kind of, you know, new year, same team, but it's hard to watch this team and not think about last year or the years prior. I mean, they had the experience that it was supposedly lacking a year ago. You want to give them more slack. There's obviously talent, and they're recruiting at the level that they need to. But, you know, in the last stretch there when Maryland's able to pull away, mind you, a hurt Maryland team, yes, they're at home, but this game Penn State's had circled on its schedule basically since that tough Wisconsin loss a month ago. They're not able to pull through late. I think it speaks to the fact that their bench still has not been able to produce offensively, and you've got guys like Josh Reeves and Tony Carr playing 37 minutes, that's going to wear on you. And I think you saw that most late. They're certainly well-conditioned athletes, but seeing all of the trouble in the practice at some point takes a toll, and no coach in the country is going to be looking to play their guys that amount of minutes. So, you know, I think that would only snowball further that you go into the season, but they've got to be able to close these games because, you know, they need to make a statement sooner or later, or you could have bigger changes within the program.
Do you, when you look at Tony Carr, he had 23 shots to get his 16 points last night. You and I both know that's not a good night. So when you look at Tony Carr, what does he need to do when you watch him? Does he need to get more people involved and not just take it upon his own shoulders at times?
Well, you know, it's funny because I had a long profile on Tony, and he and I sat down and spoke with a variety of people in his life about, you know, him taking that next step for any player, freshman or sophomore, is a big leap to make, but him in particular, what he needs to do. And the bottom line of the profile was that he's such a naturally laid-back player in person that he needed to assert himself, and he knew that, almost kind of go against the grain of his personality. I think you've seen him do that, and I think last night was more of an outlier because he's having an outstanding season, but it's just, you know, reading the flow of the game and knowing how to, you know, put the pedal to the metal at times, force it back as he does, and really kind of control things and slow things down and work, you know, his size to his advantage, his vision, and things like that. So, you know, it's a really tricky balance to have, and I think it's more difficult when you're not able to trust certain teammates on certain nights, which isn't to say that there's, you know, lack of chemistry, but when you have a lack of production from the bench as they've had, and it's on your shoulders for extra minutes, I think it makes it harder to have that balance, and then also think that I'm willing to give up that shot, because ultimately, outside of himself, you might have only had three or four teammates producing on a given night.
How big do you think Friday night's game is for this group?
I think it's huge. I mean, you know, Sandy Barber, we get to chat with her a little bit out in Arizona about, you know, hoops, and she said, listen, it's the same message I've had all along. We're going to judge this team's success and coaching staff based on Big Ten play. You start 0-2 in two games that, you know, Northwestern's a good team, but, you know, Maryland's a game you want to win. You were 1-1 with that tough loss to Wisconsin. You fall to 1-3, Steve. I mean, you know, this team would really shooting for about 9-9, maybe 10-8. I think it only gets harder when you still got the likes of a Purdue, a Michigan State further on the road, and a lot of other road trips that you just go, I'm not sure I can bank on a win. And you wonder what it does to a team psyche, because it's not only just this year they've been losing these close games. We saw it a year ago, and it's a young team. So there's really not a whole lot of time. I'm not going to qualify it as a must win, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, no, it's a big game. It is a big game coming up on Friday night. Hey, well, Andrew, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, appreciate it, Steve. We'll see you Friday.
From Learfield, this is Penn State Nittany Lion football.
Walking deep, far side, he goes to Hamilton. Inside the 10, cuts to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. It'll be Barkley, 10, 15, far side, 20, 25, 30, to the 40, 50. Goodbye, he is gone. Saquon Barkley, 92 yards. Pressure, hit at the 5 by Givens, and down he goes at the 5-yard line. Delivers near corner. Hamilton reaches up in the end zone. He's got a touchdown, Penn State, and the Nittany Lions answer right back. Barkley hurdles for a first down inside the 25-yard line. Now that is a first down with style. The Nittany Lion football team, Fiesta Bowl champions, as they beat Washington 35-28.
Penn State Nittany Lions, Fiesta Bowl champions. When you think sports, think News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Bailey's going to take that first down with style to the NFL. To see who he signed with Jay-Z.
Not too now shabby, pretty good.
Now, it's his agency, and he has a lot of experts. I think the person he is signed with within Rock Nation also handles Dez Bryant's contracts and a couple of others. So,
only a matter of time he'll be going to his first Beyonce concert.
Yeah, well, but this is somebody asked me, he's like, Jay-Z. I said, look, I said, I could care less what he wants to call himself. The guy is a financial whiz who's parlayed his money into more money, has created this agency, understands the value of performers, which athletes are. They're performers. And, you know, you want to be with somebody who is a success. I mean, do you want your agent to be driving a Porsche or a Yugo? I mean, so I could care, you know, I think there are a lot of really good choices to make with agents these days, some really good ones out there. Turns out that Jay-Z's group, Rock Nation, is one of the better ones.
I haven't heard Yugo in a while. And yeah, right about the time when they got into when Jay-Z decided to get into the sports marketing business, opened up his 40-40 club in New York. So, yeah, a lot of his whining and dining with the sports greats, they end up there.
Yeah. So, now we're going to have Ken Pomeroy on the show tomorrow. You want to know what his background is? Listen to his background.
I'd say, what, business finance maybe?
No. Undergrad from Virginia Tech. Graduate degree in atmospheric science from Wyoming.
Ooh.
All right. He worked as a meteorologist for the U.S. government. He finally quit that job to focus full-time on his website, He previously worked with the Houston Rockets and had teamed up with Daryl Morey, who, of course, is well known for using advanced analytics. His nickname is Dr. Popo. But you know what? As you know, I think analytics, and I've talked about this many times, I am absolutely all for analytics. But I'm not going to dive into every analytic. I think it's like any stat that you have. It depends on the relevancy of the stat. So in other words, if you're playing Wisconsin, one of the first things I want to know when you're playing Wisconsin is, I want to know what happened to be their possessions per game. That's one of the first things I want to know. And that's something I really, you know, it's one thing for me to sit there in the past and judge, for example, hey, look, they try to grind it down, they grind the shot clock down. When you see it statistically done, Wisconsin's about a 65-66 per game possession team. Penn State's about 74-75. So when you see the number of possessions in a game, you know, that tells you that when you're looking at, you can just look at any point, 10-minute mark, halftime, whatever. You can then get a gauge as to which team is dictating the pace, either visually or statistically. Now, that's useful stat. When I look at Michigan, for example, not so much possessions per game with Michigan, but what's the percentage of points they get from threes as opposed to twos? Okay. Again, he keeps things like that, adjusted tempo, adjusted efficiency, things like that. So you can tell a story about a team before they walk out onto a floor based on what he does. And it all depends on what you want to use. For example, if I have a leadoff hitter. Now, look, analytics go back to almost the beginning of sports. As soon as somebody said back in whatever year, hey, let's do batting average. How many hits did he get per how many at-bats? That's an analytic. That's an analytic. So that's how far back the use of stats and analytics goes. I mean, you know, Doug Collins, Doug's not a big analytics guy. Not. But he says, but we've always had analytics. He says, you know, how many points per game do you get? What's your shooting percentage? He said, those are all stats, are all analytics. And Doug's right when he talks about that stuff. But Ken Pomeroy is one of those guys that takes it, just like Bill James and Sabermetrics, takes it all the way through. Now, again, it's how you use it. That's the important part. How do you use it? What do you perceive to be relevant to the situation you're looking into? It's like anything. Part of it's got to be some gut feeling. Part of it's got to be some, you know, some stats to back up what you're thinking. Maybe you change your mind based on a couple of things you see. That's fine. But at least, you know, I've always been the more the merrier. Now, you know, I'm not a big believer in wins above replacement, because I'll be frank with you. I mean, can anybody explain to me what the heck that means? I mean, let's see. If I have Mike Trout and Mike Trout gets hurt, will the guy that replaces him be better? Probably not. I don't need wins above replacement to know. That's why that big one a few years ago, Mike Trout, war numbers, wins above replacement, were better than Miguel Cabrera's. And Cabrera won the Triple Crown. That's why sabermetricians were touting that Trout should be the MVP. Look at his war numbers. And I sat back and said, you know, versus the traditional baseball. And I said, well, this guy led in home runs, RBIs, and average. He won the Triple Crown, and his team made the playoffs. If you take Cabrera away, Will the Tigers make the playoffs? My gut says no. Okay. Mike Trout, same year. Angels finished under 500. If you take Mike Trout away, will they still finish under 500? Yes. So I'll go with the guy on the winning team. Because they got into the playoffs, because if they didn't have him, they wouldn't make it. The Angels still would have been under 500 without Mike Trout. So I'm really not that wrapped up in certain stats. But they tell a story, and I like the fact they do tell a story. Because you want to go in my job armed with as much information as possible, and then you make decisions. Like I tell my class all the time, I have so much information on charts. And my guess is that I use 1 to 2% of it every game, but the 1 to 2% changes every game. And I would venture to say that most of the 1 to 2% I use during a broadcast, most of that is probably used in the pregame show. Once the game gets going, you're doing the game. I don't try to force... Maybe early in my career, I forced in stats to make... You know, you're trying to impress people, all right? I mean, that's... that. You know. Well, now at this stage of my career, I try to... If it fits the moment, I talk about it. If not, I just go to the next play. And that's experience. And I got a lot of that now.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this. Actually, it's a little warmer today, wasn't it? Didn't we make it up into the 20s or something like that? Actually, a little warmer today.
We did. The sun felt really good for a change.
Hey, suits out there right now, bare-chested as we speak.
Then we go back to the icebox Friday and Saturday.
Well, based on seeing the suit out there bare-chested, I'm actually for that.
Okay.
Not funny. All right. There was a really interesting nugget in Ivan Maisel's column that he wrote for ESPN.com. You know how highly I think of Ivan Maisel. I've run into him a number of times over the years. Just genuinely like and respect him very much. And obviously, he's been through a lot. He lost his son a couple of years ago. Last time I saw Ivan, I think it was, let's say it was at the Ohio State game. And, you know, first thing I asked him, I wanted to make sure, excuse me, that he's doing all right. At least the best he could, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's just... You know, as I said to him, I said, he said, darn well, I said, there's nothing I can say to you that's going to, you know, change anything except let you know how much I care. Well, he's a great writer. I mean, not a good writer, he's a great writer. And he was writing about how Atlanta, which is where the national championship game will be, has transformed itself into this college football mecca. Now, think about, it's the central location for the ACC, central location for the SEC. And as much as we talk about this as a home game for Georgia, because for obvious reasons, the drive from Birmingham and Tuscaloosa is 3 hours. Not bad. All right. Well, in this article, he slipped in a very interesting tidbit that Rutgers was only invited to the Big Ten after Georgia Tech said no and turned it down. So you know darn well, every time I make a trip to Piscataway, I'm going to be thinking about that. Hey, Jack, Dick, we could have been going to Atlanta. We could be eating over at the Varsity right now. Instead of World of Beer in Piscataway. Oh, my goodness. But how about that little tidbit?
Love that.
Love that.
I always love those restaurant shows on Food Network and Travel Channel. I remember seeing a segment for the Varsity, and they'd always yell, "What do you have? What do you have? What do you have?"
Oh, I know. No, I've eaten at the Varsity several times.
That'd be a bucket list thing for me.
Oh, no, no. The Varsity's cool. I like it. I like the Varsity. So, yeah, that's coming up on... that's coming up on Monday night. Not Atlanta. For the most part, Atlanta's a great city. For the most part. I mean, not every city. I mean, you've got issues anywhere, for goodness sakes. You know, I mean, the Braves moved up to Cobb County, for goodness sakes. But Georgia State took over Turner Field. Oh. And this new dome, I mean, I did a basketball game in the old Georgia Dome. And I've done some work at Phillips Arena before. So I've done that. But never seen the Mercedes-Benz Dome. I'm trying to think the last time I was in Atlanta. They hadn't started building it yet. I think I probably did a basketball game down at Georgia Tech or something like that in the ACC Challenge. Probably the last time I've been down there. I've never done a football game down there. But great city. I've always enjoyed it. And they have the College Hall of Fame down there now. But he slipped that little tidbit in about Georgia Tech. And we'd always heard rumors that Georgia Tech was being looked at and so forth. I think most everybody knows by now that Penn State, of course, had entered into talking with the Big Ten back in the late 80s. And it progressed to the point where they finally got the invite. And Gene Corrigan, who was the head of the ACC at the time, had contacted Jim Tarman. Jim's viewing is going to be tomorrow, and his funeral is going to be Friday. Saying, geez, we wish we'd known. He said, believe me, he said, we'd invited you in a heartbeat. That probably is not what some Penn State fans want to hear. But that is... Yeah, that was an interesting time. Interesting time. And, you know, the vote was 7-3 to get in and so forth into the Big Ten. We all know that story as well, but yeah. I'll give you Jim Tarman told the best Beano Cook stories. Now, I think I've told you this story before, Sean, but I'll tell it again. Beano is with Jim, and I think for ABC, the two of them were doing a game together as co-analysts, at Navy Marine Corps Stadium in Annapolis. And there's an area where they have up all the great naval battles. And Beano looks over at Jim and he says, check this out, Jim. Look at it. Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal, Okinawa. What a schedule. And all on the road. Beano could. And Jim could tell the story beautifully. He's the best at storytelling. Jim's one of the great storytellers I was ever around. A great storyteller. And as I said on the broadcast last night, I said I probably learned more about how athletics really works from him than anybody else, including Joe. Obviously, times have changed. I mean, that's why when I talk to Sandy Barber, Phil Esten, I learn more all the time, but still. I also think it's very important for us to always remember our roots. How did we get here? I mean, our radio network is what it is today because of what Jim and Fran did together.
Yeah, Roger and I were exchanging messages last night, and it's true. I mean, he was using the words founding forefather. I mean, that's not... Yeah, that's not taking it lightly. I mean, he truly was. I mean, he set the benchmark I probably couldn't even venture a guess all the miles that he and Joe and Fran racked up just going across the state pushing the radio network during its infancy.
I mean, it was their way of getting, you know, let's get as many stations on board. We need to build this thing. And then, of course, and then Jim used to go down to the Utah House in Potter's Mills, and that's where we would have the media get together the night before with Rip Engel or then Joe, down at the Utah House. That's where they'd go. Yeah, because, I mean, in the late 50s and the early 60s, I mean, there weren't a lot of options in State College. Yeah, the Tavern existed at that time. So you had the Tavern, and then you had the Utah House out in Potter's Mills, and then the Lion Inn. That was really kind of the options you had in the State College area at the time. But Jim went around and did that. He did the publicity campaign for Richie Lucas in 1959. Riverboat Richie.
Ratskeller train station wouldn't qualify as
no
case studies at the Skeller. No.
Okay, but he did the Riverboat Richie, and he ended up finishing second to Billy Cannon in the Heisman Trophy. And he was in St. Louis at Lambert Airport, and he told me this story about, you know, they went to Lambert, you know, they were on their way west, and he got some cards and a hat, and he put it on Richie. And Richie showing the cards, and it was the Riverboat Richie campaign. He ended up finishing second in the Heisman to Billy Cannon. In fact, Richie won the Maxwell. And, you know, so from there, winning football made it even better. And not only that, he got on the radio network with Fran. I mean, you know, let's face it, in the 70s, more and more former players were making their way on to radio networks, and Penn State had Fran and Jim, who co-hosted TV Quarterbacks together, who worked on the radio together into the early 80s. And then when Jim became the athletic director full-time in 1982, we had to give up the radio part and as well as TV Quarterbacks. And then he helped guide Penn State into the Big Ten once that decision was made. He was critical in putting together the deal that allowed Penn State to go to the Fiesta Bowl to play Miami. Bruce Skinner, John Junker, Sam Jankovic of Miami, Jim Tarman, Joe Paterno, Jimmy Johnson. They all got together and did this, got the game moved to January 2nd, and they got a rating that is never going to be, he'll never be beaten. So, yeah, a really important figure. And obviously, Jeff works with us all the time. And Jeff has his dad's work ethic and has his know-how and his knowledge. And we're lucky with that. We have him on our radio network. That's for darn sure. And, of course, Jim, he's not Jim Jr. He's actually Jim II, who's a really successful lawyer, really successful attorney, and Jim's wife, Liz. Talk about Jim the Second's wife, Liz. Jeff has a daughter, Emily, the only grandchild. And Jim's wife, Louise. And I saw Louise 3 weeks ago. And Louise looks as good as ever. You know, but still a tough time for them. So, you know, as much as, unfortunately, part of this is a relief. I mean, I know I've lived through it myself. So I know how he's feeling. All right. Some people are, you know, not enamored with Alabama, Georgia, but they won their way in. UCF is going to raise a national championship banner. I guess the suit's going down for that. He loves when the quote little guy wins.
Yeah, you picked him in the bull picks. Helped put him over the top for the fourth straight year. He's still salty over not getting the Arkansas State game correct last year. Last year. We're talking over a year ago. He still pined over that yesterday when he barged in the studio. I'm not kidding you. That doesn't surprise you at all.
I think I speak for the audience. I don't care.
Me neither. I'm like, move on. You're winning.
I don't care. What UCF put together a great, great season. Here's the issue, though, that there's just some common sense to it. All right. where is it on your schedule when you play Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State back to back to back? That's what I want to know. Where is that part? Where's that gauntlet for you? Hey, there is no gauntlet. What's your gauntlet? Temple, SMU, and I don't know, Southern Mississippi. That's your gauntlet?
I don't know how Scott Frost did it, to be honest with you. I mean, just going back and forth when, you know, you think about that early recruiting period that he had to take care of with Nebraska and all, you know, just and bowl preparation for, you know, for Central Florida. I mean, just give him a. And I heard he wasn't 100%, wasn't feeling well, battling. He was sick or had the flu or something for a good number of days.
Well, you've got the early signing period, and you know, which was December 20th. Well, from December 20th till the game, he could lock in on the game. Right? I mean, the early signing period was December 20th. So he probably did a lot of recruiting for Nebraska while doing some game prep for UCF. But then once the 20th came and went and Nebraska signed its class, he probably was able to go over and lock right in on what UCF was doing. Like, they had a great season. He did a great job. He's got some great athletes and the whole thing. But where's the gauntlet? Where is it? See, that's the problem that the Group of Six has. Group of Six has the problem is there's no gauntlet. Hey, you don't play Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State back to back to back. You just don't. And it's more than just you're playing the gauntlet. You get guys hurt when you play teams like that. Big physical games. Like that, where all of a sudden your depth comes into play and so forth. And that, I mean, that's, you know, I completely salute a 13-0 season. But there's no way on the planet I would rate that team ahead of Penn State. No way. I don't care if they beat Auburn or not. Once again, so you got to remember the other part, too, is that usually the team going into that game that's facing them is coming off a loss. You notice that, right? When the Group of Six team plays a Power Five team, okay, the Power Five team's coming off a loss. So Auburn had everything on the table 3 weeks ago against Georgia, lost, didn't play well. Now they got to regroup and play this game. I mean, believe me, you know. So the emotions play, you know, Wisconsin threw everything it had into playing Penn State last year. Everything. Had a lead, the whole deal. Penn State came back. Penn State won the Big Ten title. All right? Well, Wisconsin now had to come back, regroup from that. A little bit more physical game. It's not like playing, you know, it's not like they play in the conference down there where it's like a video game. And, you know, and so they played Western Michigan last year. Western Michigan's coming off a title, momentum, the whole thing. They feel great. That's their chance, their opportunity. Wisconsin won the game last year. Didn't play its best game, but won. Now, these teams are very good. Western Michigan's very good last year. Central Florida, really good this year. Houston, a few years ago, they beat Florida State, really good. But you got to remember, I believe every time they played this game, I think all four of them have been, okay, really good Group of Six team coming in flying high and not losing versus playing a Power Five team that is coming off a loss. That's how you ended up there. Florida State coming off a loss. Okay? Wisconsin coming off a loss. Auburn coming off a loss. I mean, it's just. I mean, those are just facts. And again, I don't blame them for raising a national championship banner. That's great. They didn't lose a game. Fine by me. I don't care. That's a real tribute to a group that played great. Played great football, and a lot of people were rooting for them. I'm going to guess that the ratings on it were exponentially lower than the Fiesta Bowl, which then tells its own story. Now, I think the Rose Bowl probably had an awesome rating, and I'm going to guess that the Sugar Bowl had a really good rating. I'm going to guess the Peach Bowl, no. Again, Cinderella is really fun until you get to watch the game. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Yep, too many bowl games. Yep. Except here's the problem. Not one of them had under a million viewers. The Camellia Bowl was the lowest, 1.19 million viewers, a 0.7 rating. Marshall, Colorado State, 0.8. Louisiana Tech SMU, 1.25 million viewers. Troy, North Texas, 1.32. Florida Atlantic Akron, 1.4 million viewers. Then everything else goes up above a 1 rating. Temple FIU, 1.6 million. Michigan State, Washington State in the Holiday Bowl was 1.7 million. App State, Toledo, 1.8 million. Over 2 million viewers for Navy, Virginia. 2.1 million viewers, Fresno State, Houston. Purdue had 2.2 million viewers, went over Arizona. 2.2, Utah and West Virginia. Florida State, 2.2 million viewers. Let's see. And North Carolina A&T and Grambling in the Celebration Bowl had 1.6 million viewers. Or excuse me, a 1.6 rating, 2.4 million viewers. Okay, all the way up to Wisconsin and Miami, 11.7. Penn State, Washington, 10.2 million viewers. Ohio State, USC, 9.46 million viewers. By the way, the Peach Bowl was behind. The Peach Bowl was the lowest rated New Year's Six game. Like I said, Cinderella is adorable until you actually have to sit there and watch the team play.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.